Tiffany Lankus, welcome back to Press Pass. It's great to see you once again in our studios.
Thanks for having me.
Every time you and I leave each other, so much occurs with the Buffalo Public School District. The Office of Civil Rights is a huge problem and issue right now for the city school districts.
With the OCR report, you know, obviously we reported that the feds have responded. They've responded with more questions, asking for very specific details, very specific justification of why the district is opting to do this, not this. The district has prepared a very detailed response to that. There's a lot of philosophical difference, though, I think, both among people at the district and on the board about exactly how to move forward. You know, this all obviously started with questions about the admissions criteria at schools like City Honors and Olmsted, but it's really evolved to become a lot more. And it seems the place where they are now is, you know, how do you address that issue, but also perhaps use this as an opportunity to address other issues in the district at other schools that are struggling and low performing, you know, with kind of the end game in mind of preparing all students to either pass that admissions test and get into City Honors or land somewhere else and still get an equally as challenging and rigorous education when they walk out the door.
I think there was almost a sense from, at least from some of the parents, that Dr. Cash was going to come in and resolve the OCR issue right away in a sense that has been different from what the board presented.
That is probably true. And, you know, a big sticking point in this is they were required to bring in an outside consultant who came in. They did bring in a very well-regarded consultant. The report he issued really did get the scope of it expanded, I think, well outside of the City Honors issue. So now the district is kind of left with this enormous report with a lot of different recommendations that don't just pertain to City Honors, you know, and they have to figure out what they're going to do with it. And you hear that come up a lot, even with the response the feds have given the district, is why aren't you going with the consultant's recommendation on this? And the reality is some of the recommendations did kind of get off the original point. And I think, you know, what you're seeing happen now is, given the enormity of the recommendations, of the underlying issues that really drive the perhaps discrimination or inequity at City Honors, is this an opportunity where you need to just look at the system as a whole and try to get to some of those underlying issues?
What about what the district is saying about City Honors? Because now they're showing numbers that it's really down at 7th on the list of most demand schools in the district that are not necessarily the higher criteria schools you'd expect.
Well, I think that's a really interesting point, because when you look at the schools that are in more demand, you've got McKinley, you've got Hutch Tech, you've got Emerson, all schools with career programs and options for students. And I think that's a good point is, yes, City Honors is a very good school, and I'm sure it's a great opportunity for some kids, maybe not every kid. I mean, if you're a parent and your child is interested in the arts or the culinary industry or even solar technology or something else, you know, this kind of push to pigeonhole every kid into a certain category may not be the way to go. And I think that's what you're hearing now. And the district's response to this latest OCR really emphasizes that they want to build a stronger system with more options for students so that down the line, City Honors isn't, you know, perceived as the best choice or the only choice that you have. You might have multiple options.
What about your article a couple weeks back on staffing that Cash is trying to get some changes and to attract what he probably considers the right people to come in for the positions? Not as easy as he expected.
Right. And we've seen this before. You know, we talked off air. I think everybody who's come in runs into the same problem. I think new people come in. They have their own professional relationships with other people from their careers. You have this enormous work ahead of you. You do. You want to bring in people you know and trust that can get the work done. There's obviously a number of issues, though. One being the timing is really just horrible to get somebody at this moment in time, because most educators would be reluctant to leave in the middle of the year. And Dr. Cash also mentioned the New York certification process, which we saw with Pamela Brown when she brought in some of her own people. And they, you know, eventually were working toward getting the certification, but it is a process. It's not automatic. And so it's something that to consider when you're hiring people. And the reality is a lot of people, if you look at, are you going to move from a different state and take a job in Buffalo and you have to go through this process, and I'm sure there's a cost involved in it, you know, are you going to go through that effort? when, you know, I think there are a lot of questions about the future of this district and how long Dr. Cash will be here and how long the even current school board will be in office. So there's a lot of uncertainty right now surrounding the district that I think would make it even more unattractive than in the past to people from the outside.
As you've been covering and following him, do you get the sense that he is running into the same obstacles that Ogilvie ran into? Do you see a sense of that starting to bubble up around him?
Absolutely. You know, and it's not just, we had a story a couple weeks ago in the news about the different political forces in this community. You have a very divided school board. You have a very strong teachers union. You have extremely vocal parent groups, now not one but two, that are often at odds with each other. You have a lot of interest from the business community. You know, there's a lot of different people in the city that want to have a say and want to have his ear and want to try to some extent, promote their own agendas. And, you know, it's not going to matter who's in that seat. How he navigates that is, I think, going to ultimately be the key to his success. And what he said so far is, He wants to be the one to put his agenda out there and try to get everybody on board with it. You know, I think we're starting to see now between the OCR response and the proposed receivership contract terms. You know, there's some of these factions stem from very different philosophies about education. And, you know, here and everywhere else in the country, that's very difficult to try to build consensus around.
Update us on receivership, because at the last point, it was September-ish that those plans were supposed to be forwarded back to New York State, correct?
Correct. And they are in the state's hands right now. From the last I heard, what kind of developed on that is Phil Remore did release what Cash has proposed in terms of the contractual changes. I don't think there were any surprises for people who are familiar with Cash's background and his connections with Mary Ellen Elia. He wants to exercise as much authority and control over those schools as is allowed in the law. You know, the biggest thing, and I think a huge hurdle with the union, will be the seniority. You know, what the terms of the MOU or the changes to the contract call for is basically the receiver, who has now cashed it, exercise a lot of authority over who's teaching in those schools. Now, that's not going to mean they're not going to fire everybody or make them reapply for their jobs, but if at some point the receiver deems someone not a good fit for the school or wants to bring someone else in, what he wants is this unprecedented authority to do that, which is granted in the law. But I think, you know, it's pretty much a 100% chance we're going to see this in court in the not too distant future.
And when ideally would those plans, were they supposed to go into place by the next year?
The timeline has actually, because remember, you have those five schools that are in receivership now, but the way the law was approved by the time it went into effect, it was late July. I mean, most schools, you want to have everything set by that point. So going into this, you were looking at making changes mid-school year. And really, that had to do with Albany and the legislator and state ed and how this all came down. You know, then there were different timelines. They had to give so many days to negotiate these contractual changes with the union. So at one point, Dr. Cash said that he was hopeful or optimistic that they might be able to make some of those changes mid-year, so around January. And it's possible they could still do that because, as we've talked about before, there is a mechanism in the law that if they can't come to an agreement on those contractual changes, the commissioner will just enforce them. So the only thing that would stop Cash's plans from moving forward would be a court injunction.
Tiffany Lankus, always interesting. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.